Good morning, everyone. I am batting 1,000 today. I am Pastor Jason, and we are going to be speaking on worship this morning. How many people love worship? Raise your hand if you love it. Grateful for the worship team this morning. All right, let's get into this word. Father God, God has set us apart from the world to serve and worship him. And as believers, it is crucial that we prioritize worship in every aspect of our life, approaching it with an attitude of reverence and devotion. Worship is more than just singing songs. It's a lifestyle and it's a way of life. I told a story in the first service. I had to speak at a worship conference one time with these group of worship leaders. And one of the young ladies, you know, great singer, and I didn't rebuke her when she said this, but it was just, she's like, you know, when I take off my worship leader hat, you know, and during the week, you know, I looked at her like, huh? I was just like, we don't ever take off our worship hat. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a day-to-day thing. It's not just a Sunday morning, three songs, and then we're done. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 150 and 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you have breath in your lungs this morning, you are required and called to give God praise. David said in Psalms 34 that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. So what does that mean? That means that through every situation, through every circumstance, I will continue to give God praise. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell everybody what I said in the first service. Everybody knows I'm the short speaking pastor, so you know you're going to get out of here a little earlier than usual. But if I don't hear amens and hallelujah and preach, Pastor Jason, I'm going to preach longer. Amen. Oh, okay, there we go.
You got it.
Amen. I knew that would get a hallelujah. So when we come into the house of the Lord dealing with different issues and different situations, we have to realize that even though we are dealing with the worst situations, we must continue to praise him. We must make a conscious effort in the darkest hour to make sure that we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have a few points this morning that I want to put on the screen. My first point is we worship God because of who he is. God is the creator, and he is worthy of our worship. We worship him because of his transcendence, uniqueness, and his holiness. When we think about all he has done and how awesome he is, our very being should want to express worship to its creator. So every time we step into the house of the Lord, we should realize that he is deserving of our worship and our praise. We should come in here joyfully, excited, waiting to lift our hands because we know who he is. My second point is we worship God because of what he has done for us. He created us. Therefore, we worship him. We also worship God because he saved us. He sent Jesus to die on our behalf so that we might be free from sin. How many people are glad to be free from sin and from bondage? And it's only because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, son. Point number three, we worship God because he commands us to. Jesus teaches us in John 4 that the Father is seeking true worshipers, and true worshipers are those that worship God in both spirit and in truth. Point number four, we worship God to bless and honor him. Now, this is an important part. I want you to write this down if you can. Worship is not primarily for us. We certainly benefit from it, but worship is first and foremost a selfless act of love towards God. We do not worship just because we enjoy the emotion or the sensation of doing so. Worship does make us feel good, but that is not the primary motivation for worshiping God. We worship God because he desires us to, and it pleases him. And this is another point I want you to write down. We are the beneficiaries of worship, but should not be the primary one. Our motivation to worship should be greater than that. This is the most important part right here. True worship is never self-serving or self-centered. So what does that mean? That means that worship is not about me. And you should look at yourself and say, worship is not about me. Point at yourself and say it. It's not about me. It is always about him. We benefit from it. There have been many times I've been in the presence of the Lord, and I've been in a service, and God has been moving, and I'm weeping, and I'm falling all over the place, and I'm just having a great time in the Lord. But the reward is not that. The reward is that his presence is in the room. He is the reward of worship. That is one thing we should never forget. The reward is not hearing our favorite song, or if our favorite worship leader is up here singing. That is not the reward. The reward is the presence of God when he comes into the room and you feel his tangible presence and things change. Amen? Amen. I don't hear you. You got to be a little loud. Okay, there we go. We worship God because we love him. When God means much to us, we will worship him with adoration, exaltation, and appreciation. It will be impossible to hide as we fall deeper in love with him. The more we learn about him, the more deeper and the more intimate we get with Christ, the more we want to worship him. The more we want to give him the praise that he deserves, because we understand his great love for us and he deserves it. We worship God because of what he's doing on the earth. Because of what Jesus has done through his death, resurrection, and soon coming, we worship him. Now, we can look what's going on in the world and be like, man, this world is crazy. But like I said in the first service last Sunday, I had the honor and privilege to sit back there and watch our Crux youth lead worship. And there was such a tangible presence in the room, and it did my heart so well to see these young, these youth just lifting up a praise to God and just worship him and giving him all that they had. And it made me know that, very confident to know that we are in safe hands, especially in this church, that we have youth that know how to go after God in worship. And that is something that we need to clap our hands about this morning, because we have youth that are hungry for the presence of God. Amen. In my next point, we worship God so that we may draw near to him. In Psalms 100, we are taught to come into God's presence with songs of joy and to enter in his gates with rejoicing. If you have your Bibles, could you go to Acts 16, 25, and 30? Come on, iPad. When you have it, say amen. Let's read it together. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That brings me to my first point this morning. If you can write this down, worship changes the atmosphere. So let me paint a picture for you. Paul and Silas are in prison. They are locked up, shackled from head to toe, badly beaten, bruised, bleeding. And they had every right to sit in the jail and to complain. Amen? They had every right to. But instead of complaining, they began to pray and they sang songs. And the scripture says that when they sang songs, an earthquake happened. Because of their worship and praise, the atmosphere was changed. Church, there's something that happens whenever we're dealing with a certain situation, that when we worship, it changes the atmosphere. There is something that happens when our hands are raised and when we lift up a praise in our worst situation. I tell people all the time, if you're going through a difficult time, take some time. If you're at work this week and you're going through a struggle and you don't know how to handle it, go somewhere, put some worship music on for a few minutes and watch the atmosphere change where you're at. Amen? My second point this morning is worship brings freedom. Say it with me. Worship brings freedom. In verse 26, we read that everyone's chains were loose because Paul and Silas created a place of worship in that prison. And the greatest thing about that scripture, it says that the other prisoners were just listening to what they were doing. They doesn't say that they were worshiping, but because of the power that was in that room, everyone around them got free. This morning, I had the privilege to watch my son. If you don't know, my son Aaron, he was the one who led the first song champion this morning. And last week, he told a story. I had to lead worship at this conference one time called Fuel. And it was a young adults conference. And as a good parent, and all the parents can raise their hand with this, when your kid doesn't want to do something, you force them to go anyway. Amen? All the parents understand that? So me being a loving parent that I am, I said, you're still going even though you don't want to go. And he went, and he sat in the room, and I don't know if he's in here. He's probably tired of me talking about him. But he was in the room, and he had his hands crossed, and he did not want to be there. But there was a moment in worship where the presence of God came into the room, and those hands that were crossed were lifted up, and there was tears in his face. And then the hardened heart that was in that room became soft because freedom had entered into the room. Had nothing to do with me, had nothing to do with the band. It had him being in the right place at the right time. And when God comes in the room, there is a freedom that comes into the room. Amen? And that's why it's very important that we learn how to worship, because you never know what your worship may do. It may be bring freedom to that person that you've been praying for, that you've been weeping over, that you've been just praying over time after time. And I tell parents, listen, let your kids see you worship. Let them see you worship, because you don't know what that may happen, what that will do to them. And because of that day, he can stand here now and he can lead worship and he can sing songs of the Lord because he was truly delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's something to pray about. And this is my last point here this morning. Worship is a weapon. Can you say that this morning? Worship is a weapon. This morning when we sang that song, Champion, it says, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. And then the next part that says, when I lift my voice out, miracles start breaking out because worship is a weapon. Psalms 22 and 3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So what does that mean? That means when you worship God, you invite the presence into the room and in your circumstance. And when God is present, the enemy must flee. In heaven, there is worship 24 hours, day and night. So when we worship, we bring the same atmosphere that it is heaven in heaven on earth. Church, I don't know what you may be dealing with this week, today, what you're dealing with this morning. I can admit this morning I woke up and I was, you know, Pastor Craig, I told him this morning, I was very under the weather this morning. But there was something happened when the worship arrived. I started to lift my hands and I just started to worship. Amen. Because worship is a weapon. When I'm struggling, I worship. When a spirit of depression comes, I worship. When I'm lost and confused, I worship. Church, I'm telling you, there's something that happens when we worship the Lord. Amen. So right now, I want you to just stand to your feet. Come on, let's lift your hands. Keep playing, Ellie, for me. Just lift your hands around this place. Come on. All I did was praise. All I did was worship. And all I did was bow down. And I'm just gonna stay still. And hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Can we sing it out? Come on. And hallelujah, great defender. So much better your way. Sing it again. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, great defender. So much better your way. All I did was praise, and all I did was worship. All I did was bow down, and I'm just gonna stay still. Come on, with your hands lifted. Father God, I pray right now that we be a church that worships you in spirit and in truth, God. That we would be a church that hungers and thirsts for more of you, Lord God. That, Father God, we would never come into the house of the Lord and just stand there. That you would return us to a place of awe and wonder where we think about all of the things that you've done, all the great things that you've made and created with your hands, Lord God, that our very soul would cry out hallelujah, God. Father God, I pray for those who are struggling this morning, who are going through situations that none of us even know about. I pray this morning that there'll be a lifting in their spirit right now, Father God. I pray as the presence of God is in this room right now, that you are lifting, that you are delivering, that you are healing, that you are setting free, Lord God, that you are bringing wisdom, Lord God, for those who are dealing and struggling with depression right now. I pray that there be a lifting of their spirit right now, Lord God, and that freedom would reign in this house right now. Father God, we are so grateful for your presence this morning. And Father God, we love you and we thank you. We honor you and praise you. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody lift up a shout of praise this morning.